different message, though. Ooh, different message. Wow. Now realize when I give this message today, I did not write the Bible. Okay? Say. You understand that? Are you all right, church? I'm sorry. We're going in some territory that's going to be a little disgusting. Here we go. You've already been warned. Right? Say. Okay. Need to read all the Bible. Here we go. We're doing it. Here we go, Rod. Let's roll it, buddy. We may as well start. All right. Here we go. We did a little message called Just Do It, and Joshua was being called of God. Moses, my servant, is dead. Say what? Please tell me Moses didn't die. He did. And you're the man now. You're going to do it, Joshua. You're going to be the leader. And we learned the Conqueror's Creed. We put it on a card for you. Been talking to you about it. Many of you have memorized this. You tell it to me when I see you out and about sometimes. The Conqueror's Creed. Say it with me. God is with me. God will not fail me. And God will not abandon me. That's the Conqueror's Creed. Last week's message. So now Joshua's the leader. Going to lead all these 2 million Jews that are still in the land of Jordan. They've not taken the land of Canaan, which will be Israel later. They're on this side of the Jordan River. Last week we saw the message was called, say it with me, let's do it. Amen? And they crossed the Jordan. And the Jordan River did what? Somebody tell me it what? It dried up. It was a miracle that happened. Amen? And so, let's do it. So who's going to do it? All of us. Did Joshua cut anybody any slack on his team? How about the ones that were going to stay in the land on this side of the Jordan? They didn't have. There was 3 tribes supposed to stay over here. Did they have to go in and help fight? Absolutely. Not only did they have to go in and help fight, they were in the front. Oh, we don't have to go, do we? Yeah. Oh, okay, we'll take the rear. No, you're going to be in front. My kind of leader. I love that guy. Amen? Come on. God is with us. God will not fail us. God will not abandon us. And so we've got now 2 million Jews that were in Jordan. They've crossed the Jordan River. And now they're in the land of Canaan. You understand? If you go today, it would be Jordan here, the Jordan River, and the land of Israel. You got it? Did they stand in a long line, 2 million of them, waiting to get across? No. No, they were. The Jordan River's not that wide anyway, and it goes for, a couple of 100 miles, I guess, at least. And so, towards the desert, there's no vegetation. It's not mud like we have here at the bottom of our rivers. There is towards the Sea of Galilee up this way, but not down there in the desert. So that's the location. They're in that area. And so they're spread out all, I can see it in my mind, all spread out. And when that river Jordan dried up, come on. And they walked across. Got it? Y'all alive? Here we go. I told you, I didn't write the Bible. Here we go. Today's message, not just do it, not let's do it, but say it with me. Trust do it. One more time. Trust do it. One more time. Help me now. Trust, do it. Let's go with the message. Here we go, Rod. We're rolling. Help me. Trust or faith in God, to many, is a crazy thing. And to be honest with you, I mean, some churches and Christians have, made a legitimate thing to question crazy faith sometimes. Amen? Because there's some craziness out there. Okay? All right? But trust or faith is not a crazy thing. Trust or faith in God is not a crazy thing. Matter of fact, with God, faith is what? Gold. One more time. With God, faith is gold. You can't buy God. Here, God. You can't do that. You can buy man. Get man to do a lot for you with some money. But you don't buy God with that. You don't move God with that. You know how you move God? Faith. Trust. You know how you please God? Faith. Trust. Faith is gold with God. Matter of fact, in Romans chapter 4, it says, for what says the Scripture? Abraham what? Believed God, and it was what? One more time. It was what? Counted unto him for righteousness. When God looks at someone's faith, to him, that's gold. When he looks at someone's faith, He counts that as righteousness. Okay? So trust, faith, is so important with God. You've got to have it. God doesn't demand your money, but God does demand your trust and your faith. Well, you don't understand. No, He does not understand, and nor will He ever understand that you try to come to Him on any other level than on faith. Okay? Yeah, but I like doing it this way. I was taught this way. Well, I can give a rip about the way you were taught. You're taught wrong. You come to God by faith. You understand or not? No, I can work and I can do and see God will like me and my works will outweigh my bad and see it'll be good and God will let me into heaven. He isn't. You must trust Him. You must put your faith in Him. You must put your faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. You understand? How do you know, preacher? It's all through the Bible. Verse right here, I'll give you one. Without faith, say it with me, it's what? Is that like a pretty tough thing right there? Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please Him or to please God. For he that comes to God must what? One more time, must what? Believe. So that's our subject this morning. We're going to talk about trust. We're going to talk about faith. Okay? And that's what I saw in this story. You might not have seen it just this way. Let's look at it. God wants the world to know. God wants the world to know it's not about them. It's about Him. Do you understand that? You meet people who's all about themselves, say. That gets old after a while. You listening? Gets old after a while. What gets old with God right off the get-go? He don't like it. He wants the whole world to know. And He wants, as He's doing this deal with Israel, with the children of Israel, He's fixing to do a deal. They're fixing to take the land of Canaan. This is their land. He's given it to them. But He wants them to know something. And He wants the whole world to know something. He wants us thousands of years later to know something. And that's what we're going to learn today. Okay? In today's message, God will, say it with me, very... Ooh! One more time. In today's message, God will what? Display this, and it's very important you say the green part. All the, so that doesn't mean the women, does it? All the, yeah, that's what I thought you said. Let's see what happens. Trust, do it. Did they cross the Jordan? Is everybody happy? In Jordan, I mean, are they happy now they're on the other side? They feeling all that, ain't they? Yeah. The enemy lost heart. The enemy lost heart. The enemy was on this side and saw those 2 million who couldn't get across. You can't get across. Now all of a sudden they're what? You listening? So the enemy lost heart and they're paralyzed with fear. Look at what the Bible says. Joshua 5:1. It came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, Jordan River goes all the way, the land goes to the Mediterranean Sea, land of Israel, Jordan River to Mediterranean Sea. So all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, when they heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, say it with me, that their heart, what? Melted, neither was their what? Spirit in them anymore, because, say that last part with me, of the... Because of the children of Israel. Well, I've been looking at the children of Israel. They really ain't that big and bad, are they? I mean, really? Really? Who dried up the Jordan River? Children of Israel dried up. No, God did. God did. Okay? The enemies were fearful of the who? Children of Israel. Who dried the river? God did. All the Israelites did was walk across on some rocks. Have I lost you yet? The Israelites are well rested now, and they're pumped. I believe the Israelites, man, they just saw what happened. They're well rested. They're on the other side. They're pumped. Their enemies are what? Scared to death, paralyzed with fear. And the Israelites are all what? Pumped. Are they rested? Yeah, all you got to do is walk like from here to there. Yeah, absolutely they are. Did they have to use swords or fight, anything like that so far? Uh-uh. So they're well rested and they're pumped. And word has it out there, everybody's scared of who? Children of Israel. Hold the phone. Hold the phone. I don't think God was like, you know, that impressed that they're all scared of them. All right? Hold the phone. Trust. Do it. The enemy was in fear mode and they were back on their heels. That's true. The people are physically rested and they're jazzed for battle now. I believe that's true. But don't you see what God says? Now this is where it gets ugly. At that time, what time? When the enemy is fearful of them? When they're all jazzed, ready to kick their tail? Take the land? At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make you sharp knives and circumcise. Again, the children of Israel, the what? Second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill. This is not where I'd want my house. I'm sorry. Of the foreskins. Alright? Okay? Anyway, circumcision, if you don't know, is just a very painful thing. And happens to men, usually when they're little babies. Now they're up to 40 years old. They're 40 years old and down. And this is happening to the men. Are you understanding? Okay, if you don't understand, ask somebody else. Here we go. Here we go. Listen. It's just me reading the Bible in my office. Here we go. And this is the cause why Joshua circumcised him. Why did you do that? All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, they died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. God said, because of your lack of what? Faith, you'll die where? In the wilderness. You're not going to have the land. This message is about what? Faith and about trust. And God's already pretty good for it, because did those who came out of Egypt, did they get to go into the promised land? Yes or no? No. Their kids did. So that's why they're being circumcised, because the ones who had been are dead. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, they had not been what? Circumcised. The men. Okay? For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they what? Obeyed not the voice of the Lord. They didn't have faith. They didn't have trust. Unto whom the Lord swore that He would not show them the land. You ain't going in, flat out, period. It ain't happening. Which the Lord swear unto their fathers that He would give us a land that flows with milk and honey, and their children whom He raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised. I mean, it's pretty clear that word's used a lot. Because they had not circumcised them. By the way, now, can we keep moving? Here we go. So let me get this straight. Hang in here with me. We're studying the Bible. Y'all listening? Let me get this straight. The Jordan River dried up. You walk across on rocks. You're physically fit. You're pumped for battle. People are scared to death. That's usually when you go after an enemy when he's backwards, right? Go ahead and knock him out. But that's not the way God does things. He really doesn't want you and me getting a lot of credit. He wants you and me trusting Him. So what? Are you kidding me?
Excuse me? What are you doing, God? I don't understand. Why is this your plan? They are no longer physically rested and jazzed for anything. And they're about to go in a fierce battle. What did Caleb and Joshua tell, and what did the others tell, the ones that had lack of faith? There were what in the land? There were giants. Giants. Conventional wisdom. They're fixing to go into a fierce battle. Conventional wisdom would say this. Listen, conventional wisdom would say is now is not the time to be getting cut on. All right. How many thinks it's time to be cut on? No. Right? Say. I mean, this is what's going on here. But God says, no. Now is the time. Now is the time. And you know, guys, I could preach. We could talk about this. It's a story right in the Bible. It's true. It happened. Historical fact and all that kind of stuff. But you know, this has all kinds of meaning for you today. So often we think when we're strong, when we're at our best, you know, see, God's with me. I'm real strong and I'm not, you know, and really... God really shows up in your weakness when you depend on Him, when you're hurting. You understand? When you've been cut on. When the people aren't saying, look at you! Look at you! How great you are! But they're going, oh my God. Look at you. And then God shows up. Amen? That's what I see in this story today. Are you seeing it? God's about to do something big for this nation. You will now have to trust me more than ever. Because you ain't feeling too hot, are you? Keep looking. And it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the men that they abode in their places in the camp. Say that last part with me. Till they were what? Yeah. Till they got better. Little rest. I don't want to be ugly, but the whole time I was studying this, I was thinking of Fred Flintstone. Because it says, take stones of flint. I'm sorry, that's what I was thinking of. This was not scalpels, guys. This was stone. Yeah, ooh, that's what you should say. Kidding me? Come on! Great scripture in 2 Corinthians. Paul saying, because of his weakness and illness that he had. And he said unto me, God speaking, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength, say it with me, is made what? Perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the what? Power of Christ might rest upon me. Beautiful thing. We're about done. I got to quit. At the end of what? Is help. Who said that? Terry Clark, my brother. Told me that about a week ago on the telephone. So God's heard them now. And help's coming. And they're going to have to trust Him because they're weak. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal until this day. We got to fly now. Why circumcision and why now? So Israel would know that they were governed by God and not ordinary measures of warfare. We're going to do this different. You're going to follow me. You're going to trust me. It confirmed God's covenant with them. As He had done to their forefathers, He did it to them. To just confirm the covenant there, that they're His people. And it was to give them unquestionable assurance of victory and success as God had sworn to Moses. Okay? Just because they didn't come into land, because they disobeyed me, and your forefathers died in the wilderness, does not mean that I don't keep my word. I do. But you must have faith. It's called the second circumcision. Why? Were they circumcised twice? No. They hadn't been at all. As 5:2 tells us, circumcised the second time. Keep looking. Why is it called the second circumcision? Because this is a new day. It's a new day. It's basically your second chance. Say second chance with me. Second chance. It's your second chance. First chance, they didn't fly, did they? They did. Now they're getting a second what? It's a new day. The day that God will keep His covenant like He said He would. This was God's promise. This was God's plan. They were God's people, and they're going to now see that it's His power, not your power. I mean, I know y'all all that about y'all crossing over on the dry land, and they're saying, oh, Israel's great, Israel's great. You're nothing. Look at you. It's about me, God says. You trust me, and we'll do great things. You understand? That's how I see it. Why circumcision and why now? So they would know. It had zero to do with them and everything to do with Him. Can you say that with me? It had zero to do with them and everything to do with... And when I think of our facility, if you told me we had to do everything we've done, I couldn't do it. But if I was just to walk and follow, here a little and there a little, like we've done over 7 years or so, well, look at that. But I know it's not us. You understand? And we're not looking for the Lone Ranger to ride in right now and save the day either, guys. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him. Can you honor Him and trust Him and believe Him to finish what we've started? Amen? I think we can. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yeah. He's done a great thing. He's done a great thing. It has zero to do with them and everything to do with Him. He wants that out of His church. Amen. Just like our salvation in Jesus, and we're done. For He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. Look at this verse. In whom also you're circumcised. What? With the circumcision made without what? Hands. But the circumcision of the heart. In putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, God took your hurt. God took your pain. And there's been something done to your heart now. You've been buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with Him through what? Of the what? The master surgeon, baby. Amen? He has just cut on my heart. I got Jesus. You know what I want in my heart? I want Jesus carved on my heart. That's what I want on my life. When people see me, and especially when He sees me. So where are you at? Are you thinking good works? You got that carved on your heart. I'm a good person. Good person on my heart. Amen. I give money. I do this. I do that. I do the other. You need Jesus Christ carved on your heart. At the end of hurt is help. At the end of His hurt is your help. Amen. Good stuff, man. Little crazy message. I thought, Lord, I don't want to preach this today. I got this thing going on. It's in the Bible. I believe God. I've got two statements and we're done. I believe God for victory and success in what we're doing. Why wouldn't I? Say. Absolutely. God is with me. God will not fail me. And God will not abandon me. And if we trust Him, we're going to knock the ball out of the park for the glory of God. Amen? And if you say, but Pastor, I'm weak. Or Pastor, it's a bad economy. Or Pastor, it's hard. You know what I'm going to say? It's great. You're a prime candidate for God to do something crazy in your life. Amen? And I speak from experience. I'm telling you right now. You know? All right, just think it through. Last thing. I believe God will honor my commitment to Him and will make my way prosperous. Do you believe like that? That's the God I know, and that's the God I've been following ever since we started this project. And He's been so good to me. Amen? Can you scream it real loud? 1, 2, 3. Does that mean us? Does that mean Him? That means Him working through us. Amen. One more time. 1, 2, 3. Amen. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray with us. And here's what I'm going to do. You can't leave till I get back there. If you have that card, I would love to have that card. I'm going to put a jersey in your hand. It would be my goal that we'll run out, but it's fine because I got something else to give you. I got it back there. And then we're going to have other jerseys be coming right back to us real quick. Amen? I want everybody to be able to get one that wants to be part of the team. Amen? And if that's not something you can do, I understand that. Not everybody's always on the same page at every little project. I understand that. We love you flat out, period. We just want you to be happy. If you can't do it cheerfully and with that great attitude, you can always turn in next week or another time. Amen? Y'all good on that? Yes or no? All right, praise God. Good stuff. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for being good to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this great story. And wow. And we know, us that have read this story in the book of Joshua, we know Jericho's coming. And you're going to give them Jericho. And it's going to be done in a crazy way. Father, thank you for giving us the crazy idea of doing a multi-million-dollar facility debt-free. And now look at us, Lord. Look at us. We're doing it. You've been helping us so much. And Father, I just ask you to pour out your blessing on us. Help us to just keep serving and believing and trusting, knowing that it's going to get done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.